Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13. And this is one of those messages. We're just going to spend a little time in the Word of God studying it, an issue that I think is probably one of the most important issues that a church can deal with. This falls along the line of what we're studying in the book of Hebrews. We're about to finish our study of Hebrews. And there's just some ideas and some things that I believe it's the Apostle Paul. It could be wrong. Doesn't have his name on it, but it sounds a lot like how Paul wrote. I don't know if you've just studied the Bible enough. If you read the letters of John and you read Revelation and you read the Gospel of John, you can look at it and see that John has a way that he writes, a way that he expresses itself, and it's all done by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And you read Paul, you can see how Paul talks. You read Peter, you can see how Peter talks. If you read Ezekiel, you can kind of get an idea of how Ezekiel talks and so on. And so I tend to lean toward the idea that this is one of Paul's letters. But it doesn't say that. Probably doesn't say it for a reason. So we'll just know that it's from the Holy Ghost of God. I would just say the Holy Ghost wrote it. Can I hear you say amen? So he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, we're going to be in two places in Hebrews 13. We're going to kind of tie them together. Hebrews 13, verse 7, the Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then I want you to look in verse 16. Let's see, I got verse 16, I meant verse 17. Verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you." He's saying it twice here in the same chapter. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And he says in verse 18, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly." And so tonight, just by natural way of how the flow of the text of the Word of God leads, we're going to be dealing with verse 7 and verses 16 to 7. We're going to kind of group them together because they're saying practically the same thing. He says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Two different aspects of this idea that especially in America, especially in the church, but in practically every realm that exists, there is a lack of a respect for authority. The Bible told us that there will come a time when children will rise up against their parents. Can we see that time right now? Can you see that happening right now? Children rising up against their parents, which is a violation of the sixth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. God actually wrote it into the commandments. That's a requirement of children to give honor and give respect and to obey their parents. Paul wrote, "Children, obey your parents." Children, follow, obey your parents. Listen to what your parents say. Don't work against your parents. God had a deal. He wrote it in the law. Young people, you listen to this one. Okay? This is good. Okay? There was a law in the Old Testament for the Israelites that said if a man and woman had a son and he was living at home and he was a drunkard and he was a bum and wasn't doing anything and he was being disobedient to his parents, and they would chastise him, they would chasten him, but he would not respect that chastening, and he kept disobeying them and not changing anything, that after whatever length of time the parents had while they were trying to chastise him and he wouldn't change, the parents, by law, were told to take that son to the elders. The elders would pass judgment. And they would take that son outside of the city and they would stone him to death with stones until he was laying there dead. That's how God dealt with the severity of rebellion. That's how God dealt with it. We can't even, in America, Most of us parents are afraid of touching our child for fear that we're going to be turned in by somebody and the government's going to come and get us and take our children away. This is where we've gone to in this nation. Literally, the children are beginning to bear rule. United Nations passed a deal several years ago called the UN Treaty of the Rights of Children. And basically, the UN announced to the world that everybody who ratified that, every nation that was going to be a part of that, children were going to have rights over their own parents. That's how these people think. And so we see it. We live in a world right now where children are being disobedient to parents. When they're disobedient to parents, that is going to spill out outside of the home. And when these children go to school, do you think they're going to listen to that teacher? You think they're going to listen to the principal? You think they're going to listen to the bus driver? They're not. They're not taught to listen at home. They rise up in rebellion against their parents, and then they are going to rebel at school. And then what typically happens is law enforcement has to get in on the situation, and those people, those children, have no respect for law enforcement. And here's what surprises me. And I talked to a guy years ago, old Frank. He used to be a DeSoto cop down here. And he said, my problem's not with teenagers. He said, I can bust up teenagers. He said, I don't have a problem with teenagers. It's just 9 times out of 10, it's their parents I have to deal with after I arrest their children. You had no right to arrest him. He didn't do anything. And the parents were always going in defense of the child against the law enforcement. That's how it was. He said, normally, that's how it is. He said, children don't scare me. It's their parents that we have to deal with all the time. When we had a school here, there would be students that I'd have here that I knew for a fact that if they got in trouble here, I was fixing to get in trouble by their parents. But usually the mom. Usually a church-going mom. Not this one. But there, we had a group of students from a different church here in this area that every time their kids got into some trouble and I had to correct it somehow, some way, I knew that I was fixing to get a phone call or I was fixing to get whatever by mom and dad. They didn't want anybody correcting their child, and normally the child was not ever corrected at home. So it's a bad situation we have. People, when they go into the work environment, they have little or no respect for someone who is in a management position or an authority position in the workplace. You can't tell them what to do. You can't make them do. They have rights. They don't have to do that. Why do I have to do that? So-and-so doesn't have to do that. How come I have to do that? And that's what people hear over and over and over again. And as I said, now we have a situation where people are in direct rebellion to even the government of the United States of America. And in the course of this teaching, I'm going to deal with what is the proper Christian Bible believers' response to governmental authority. There is a proper biblical way that we should regard earthly authority over us. Do not think that because you call yourself a Christian, that exempts you from being under the rule of Jefferson County, the state of Missouri, or the United States federal government. That does not exempt you, and I know of some people who believe that it does, and that is not biblical. I remember I preached a message here, it's been several years ago, on Romans 13, and we posted that, and Jared, they come out of the woodwork on me. They accused me of being a shill for the New World Order, accused me of being on the government payroll. How much did they pay you, Pastor Mike, for being a sellout? And all I did was preach Romans 13. If you want to go read, listen, before I preach Romans 13, go home and read it. You just go home and read it and let God tell you what it says there. And I promise you, I will not preach anything other than exactly what it says. I don't need to. It says it the way it is. There is a proper biblical response, and people are going to ask me, so what if the New World Order government tells you to get in the FEMA truck and go to the camp? Are you going to tell your people that? They smart off to me like that. They sound just like that. If my government tries to force me to break a law of God, I have the right to say no. And you and I both know that one of the first sayings they're going to come after us with is sodomy. It's already been done in England. They've gone after pastors in England. It's been done in Canada. They've gone after pastors in Canada. And before too long, we know the way everything's spinning and the way everything's going. It will be a crime for me to say sodomy is a sin in the eyes of God. It'll be a crime for me to quote scriptures and say that. That's too bad, because I'm going to preach it and quote the scriptures, because that's what we believe in. It's what we have to stand on. Okay? And so I'm just kind of leading you in that direction. All right? But in this case here, we're going to deal with several areas. We're going to deal with the home. We'll deal with the workplace. We'll deal with government issues of authority, parents' authority over children, husbands' authority over wives, pastoral authority in a church, and so on. We're going to deal with all of it. I'm going to deal with it fairly. One of the things that I've always tried to do is try to maintain a biblical sense of what my role is here, what your role is here, and try to honor God in everything that you and I say and do. Something that occurred to me here a while back. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to show you a verse here. A little warm in here, isn't it? Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Turn there. I want to show you something. Verse 4 and 5. This is something that God dealt with me about several years ago. When I married Lisa, how's Roy? Okay. Pray for Roy. It was DR's got some cellulitis in his legs, and so just lift him up. Rose been over there with Bonnie. All right. But anyway, when Lisa married me, I was finishing up my third year of Bible college, and I had 1 year left to get that big coveted bachelor degree in theology with a big certificate up on the wall. Okay? If you've never seen my Bachelor of Arts degree in theology hanging on my wall, it's because I don't have it. I didn't go back that fourth year. Okay? I fell in love. We got married here, and what I wanted to do, and Lisa will tell you this, what I wanted to do was find a church job that would pay me full time so I wouldn't have to go out and work. That's what I wanted. I wanted my feet up on a desk, pretending like I was studying. That's what I wanted. Okay? God said, Mike, you're not ready. You're still a boy in many ways. So, 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at this. The requirements for a bishop in verse 4 is one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And God was going to force me to learn how to govern a marriage and children, then he would let me start taking a position in a church. And God did it exactly that way. And I thank God for it. Okay? Now here's the word that really jumped out at me in this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house. So, and we use this word, is it well? Which means, is everything good? Is it, we like our steaks. Some people like their steaks how? Well done. Why? That means it's good and cooked. Yeah, burnt beyond recognition. I don't need them that way. But if you do, that's fine. Okay? But that word jumped out at me. I guess a lot of men, we want to be macho. We want to use that deep voice and these big shoulders. And we want to just, silence, woman! Okay? That's what our flesh wants to do. Let me tell you something. That is not ruling well. It's not. Any politician will tell you that no matter really what their ideals are when they go into office, they realize that they have an obligation to represent, or try as best as they can to represent, all of the people in their constituency. There are some politicians on both sides, Republican, Democrat, or whatever, who have learned how to rule well, which means that they've learned how to listen to the other side, try to make the other side happy, but still follow what they believe is right. Dads and husbands, you're not ruling your house well if you think that you're the only brain in the house. You're not ruling well. Amen, ladies? Ladies, listen, I am always going to be on your side. Always. You know why? Because I'm a man and I know how we think. Okay? And I think the way we think sometimes is the dumbest, worst thing in the world to do. And if it hadn't been for my wife pulling me out of stupidity in many situations, I would not be worth anything. Okay? I'll give you an example of that. Right after we got married, I worked a little while out in construction, hated it, because I was sweating, like the Bible said, Jared, I was sweating, didn't like it. So I thought, I'll just go back to Bible college. Okay? And so I had made up my mind that's where I was going. I didn't know that God had given her to me to save me. I'll tell you this, I'm thankful to this day that I didn't let that fourth year of Bible college ruin me forever on what I know about this Bible. I'm thankful to this day. So she come home from work one day, and I told her, I said, I've been praying. God wants me back in Bible college. We're going to move to Oklahoma. And she said, I'll be here when you get back. And I got mad because I'm going. I wanted to say, listen here. I'm the man. I did. I wanted to pull rank on her so bad. Okay? And I knew her well enough to know that it wouldn't work. Okay? She talked me out of it, and I'm glad she did. And what I've learned over the years, and she'll tell you this, every time God was ready to move in me in a certain direction, he always put it in her heart first. Then he put it in mine. So when I would go to her, we would be in nearly perfect agreement on everything. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's what this Bible says. Okay? It is, I'm telling you, listen, if you're in any realm of authority, you listen to me. It is that way in every place where someone is in authority over other people. If he will not listen to the people that are working for him or her, he's no good. Those of you who have worked under someone, the people that you respect who are over you are the people who you know would listen to you and have been out on the roof where you have been, or they've been out there, or they've been out there where you have been, and they have done your job. Can I get an amen? Amen. They know what it's like, and they know when you go to them and say, look, I know the specs called for this, but I'm telling you, in this situation, it won't work, and we need to try to do something differently. If you've got a supervisor that will listen to you in that or some other area, you treat him right. You buy him lunch every now and then. You take good care of him. Because he's the guy that's going to stand between you and the guy with the money and say, my guys are telling me this is how it is. And I guarantee you, the guy with the money, he can just say, well, they're all fired. But he knows better than that, because it's going to cost him a fortune to rehire everybody. And he knows that the power of the group telling him this will not work, that means something. And if that guy running the company who has all the money, if he's smart, he'll listen to the people down on the floor who are telling him, this is what we think it needs to be. Can get an amen out of you. So one of the things that I learned as a husband, if I wanted to bear over my house well and do a good job of it, listen to my wife, listen to my kids. Sit down and listen to them. And she's had to help me with that. Mike, instead of cutting them down, why don't you listen to them? Listen to what they're saying. Yeah, I guess you're right. Because she said, if they can't talk to you, they're going to find somebody else. And she was right. So hopefully, over time, my children have learned, I can tell Dad things. I can say things to Dad. I can tell him, Dad. Now, I've got three girls that work for me. And they know that they can come. I'll say, now, I think we'll do it this way. And invariably, one of them, like Alicia or Lindsay, will say, Dad, Lindsay especially. Lindsay's not afraid of her dad to a certain way. Dad, stop it. Who signs your checks? Rose. Oh, okay. And so I learned to listen. I learned to listen to my wife. I learned to listen to my family. But at the end of the day, they know that out of all the people in our house who have to make the final decision, it's Dad. It's the husband. That's authority. That's ruling your house well. And God had to show me that, Mike, you want to be a bishop. The requirement, go read the requirements, Mike. You're not qualified. Not yet. So I'm going to have you learn how to rule your house and learn how to listen to people and learn how to love them, even if on some days they're not very lovable. Learn how to care about them and learn how to do these things. I'm still learning. I got a long way to go. But that's how you do it well, guys. You listen. And I found out that if you'll listen to your wife and listen to your children, they're fine with you making the call at the end of the day. For the most part, they are. And God will bless that. Can I get amen out of everybody? Amen. So I go back to Hebrews 13. And I look at this situation of, I've got a church here. Okay? I've got a responsibility over all these people that walk in here and say, you're the preacher. Okay? You're the preacher. You tell us what you spend all day and you study that book and you tell us what that book says, and we're trusting you to do it right. We've got our souls tied into you saying what's in this book right. And I'll be honest with you, I've been dealing with just the heaviness of the responsibility that's on me, knowing that not just you, Christina, okay? And I wouldn't hurt you for the world, but not just you guys here. But there's people out there, now they're all climbing all over the place in Kenya. They're listening to what I say. And if I fail in word or deed, that's going to hurt a lot of people. And I think about that stuff. I probably shouldn't, but I think about it every now and then. And it's good because it sobers me. And I need to be sober. Amen? Okay, that's also one of the qualifications too, is to be sober. Deacons are supposed to be sober. And so, when it comes to a pastor over his people, number one, it is not my business what color socks you wear, how you decorate your living room. It's not my business what you do in your home or in your car or at your workplace. It is none of my business. What you do at the store has none of my business. I know some pastors that thought that it was their business to know what everybody was doing in the church and then try to correct everybody. That's not doing it well, I don't think. I don't feel obligated to correct my wife on everything she says. Okay? Even though I feel the impulse, I don't feel the obligation. Okay? Because I made a promise to her a long time ago when she started working here. I made a promise to her I'd listen to her and keep my mouth shut. Hard job. But I made a promise to her that I would. And so I don't feel the impulse and the need to correct every little thing my wife says or does. Honey, seriously, the role goes the other way. That's kind of how I see it. And I'm the man, so therefore, do what I say. I don't think that's ruling your house well. And I don't think that it's pastoring a people well. If I think that I have to get involved in every detail of your life and tell you what to do every 5 seconds. Because at some point, y'all need to grow up and learn how to take care of yourself. That's how we're raising our kids, isn't it? Learn how to take care of yourself. Learn how to fight your own battles. Learn how to make decisions on your own. That's what I'm supposed to be doing here. But anyway, the responsibility to a church, back in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, I had a question given to me yesterday. A guy, I can't remember who it was, but anyway, they said, we were going to a church. Pastor last week started whipping out his NIV, and they said, we're done. We're done. I'm not going to take my kid and have him listen to that. I'm not going to listen to it. Every time I'd try to follow along in the Bible, it just didn't sound right. And I was so confused by the time church was over, I was getting nothing out of it. So we're out. We're done. And here's the thing. Biblically, you do have a choice as to who does rule over you. You have a choice. In this country, we get to elect our politicians. Now, I don't necessarily like most of the elections that take place in this country. But that's just how the country goes. And if that's who the country elected, that's what they got. And I'm laughing at what they got, but I'm mad about what they got. Amen? Okay? I don't like it. But typically, even in the Bible, you get to choose who's over you. Ladies, you get to choose your husband nowadays, don't you? Okay? You get to choose the guy. Okay? Churches can choose a pastor. And this person that wrote me, they said, do I still have to keep going there? And I said, well, let's go to the Word of God. It says, remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the Word of God. And if they're preaching something, like in Daniel 3:25, where it calls the one in the fiery furnace a son of the gods, they're not speaking unto you the word of God. They're giving you something else. You are under no obligation to follow that. It's not the word of God. Because with every pastor, there's always a bigger authority. Always. Okay? So, and I recognize that there are people out there who watch online and they call me pastor. That's a big responsibility. But don't expect me to fly to California to visit you in the hospital. I can't do it. Okay? But anyway, remember them which have a rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So here's all that any good pastor would ask of a congregation. You listen to me. You consider what I'm saying. And if you feel like that my faith is in the Word of God, follow that faith. I'm not leading you to me. I'm not leading you to the greater glory of Bethel Church. I'm leading you to this book. That's where my faith is. I'll tell you, Pastor, I don't understand this. What does the book say? What does the Bible say? What do the scriptures say? And if you find a church that man is doing that, you follow that man's faith. Considering the end of their conversation, you have to ask yourself the question, where's Pastor Mike going to be 50 years from now? Where's he going to be 50 years from now? Where's he going to be 100 years from now? Is this man going to glory? Or is he going the other way? Considering the end of their conversation, considering where is this man headed? Where is he going with this? And I think in some cases you can watch their ministry and you can see they are not about the blood, they're not about faith, they're not about the book. They've got other agendas in mind. And once you figure out they've got an agenda here and it's not in the Word of God, don't follow that faith. Don't chase after them rascals. They're no good. And I'm very careful. By the time I'm done with this teaching, you're going to understand that I've got a massive problem with rebellion. Not that I rebel a lot, but I have a problem when I or you rebel against someone in authority. When that cop pulls you over, first of all, when he flips them lights on and he's driving behind you, I don't know that any of us would say, you know what? I think that's that dirty cop, that coke dealer. I ain't pulling over for him. Try it. Okay? You'll end up on America's Most Wanted, I guarantee you. There's going to be a video reel of you like O.J. Simpson driving around town with 40 cop cars chasing you down. When those lights come on, what do you do? Jared, what do you do? Pull over. You know why? That man has been given authority by who? God. God. And I'm going to show you that in the Bible. God gave him authority to pull you over and to execute the law. And if his determination, you broke the law, you didn't stop at the stop sign, you didn't stop at the stoplight, you were going too fast in the school zone or whatever, if he determines that, yeah, you can have your hearing in court. There's a remedy for it if you don't feel that it was right. But if he pulls you over and hands you a ticket, you don't go, you don't do that. That's authority. He has the right to take away your rights of liberty and put you in jail and hold you. He has a right to do that, and he will. That's what I believe about authority. You don't rebel. And I'll tell you this. If anybody in this church ever gets pulled over, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Now, if you feel that you're in the right, go to court. Okay? But if a cop hands you a ticket and you know that you had it coming, you thank that man and you tell him as serious as you can be, thank you for protecting my neighborhood. The Bible calls you a minister. And when I get in my car, I'm going to pray for you that God will keep you safe. I dare you to do that. That's actually right. There's words of the Bible. You're supposed to pray for them. Okay? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then verse 16 or verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. See, this is a free will thing here. You submit yourselves. You have a choice. You can either not submit or you can submit. And as we go through this, I'm going to show you the blessings of submitting to authority that's over you. Our flesh is rebellious, is it not? Oh, we got it in us. The boss comes down on us, and he's in a huff, and we want to just lay into him. Whoop him in the head with a shovel. It's been thought of. Okay? By me, I've thought of it before. When I was working for Ron, okay? But there's actually a reason why you probably should be under his authority. There's protection there, and I'm going to show you that. So he said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. My responsibility is to watch and do everything that I can do to keep you from burning in hell forever. You cannot fathom, I cannot fathom, how big a responsibility that is, that somebody could slip into hell on my watch and I didn't do anything about it. I've got a list of people that I know for a fact, going all the way back to high school, that are in hell right now, that God put me in touch with them to say something and I never did. One of the guys in high school, I had a chance for a year to talk to him about the Lord and never did. And I was going to Bible college. That was my senior year. I was going to Bible college the next year. And I never said a word to him. My first year in college, my mom called me and she said, you remember Eric so-and-so? And I said, yeah. She said, he was in a car wreck, come back from a Van Halen concert and died. I lost that one. God was trying to train me to watch for people's souls. And the only thing I was interested in was he was one of the preppy kids. I wanted him to like me. That's all I cared about. So the responsibility, dads, husbands, you have the same responsibility on you to think that your children or your wife could go to hell on your watch. That's a big one. It's hard to think about that, but it's a big responsibility. So I recognize that I have a watch over the souls of the people, both number one, that come here, number two, that are watching online or listening. I have a responsibility that what I say has got to be the Word of God. And if it's not, you guys get together and put me out. Because if I'm not preaching this book, I have decided that I'm not going to watch over your souls. God forbid. God forbid. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. You know what that means? It's when, at the end of the day, you go to the boss, and the boss wants to know, how much got done today, Chris? How much got done today? Did you guys get it done? We need it done today. Did you guys get it done? No. What's he going to ask? Why? Why? So everyone in authority, like a manager or, you know, a foreman or whatever, there's always someone they got to get an account to at the end of the day or the end of the quarter or the end of the month or the end of the job. They have to give an account. It's the same with the ministers. And I don't know all the specifics of it. But there's questions that God's going to ask me. He's not going to ask Sterling. Sterling is a deacon that has a certain amount of authority. But there's questions God's going to ask me, and I have to give an account before God of how I conducted myself and things that I did and things that I said. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I've been in the ministry, took Rich Woods Church in 1990, so 24 years in December this year, and I'm already scared to death to go stand before God. Because I know for a fact there's stuff that I didn't do right. I've already got that on me. Thank God I serve a good boss. Amen? Amen. I mean, I got a good one. Amen. But I have to stand and give an account. over what I said and how I conducted myself. I had that responsibility, and I promise you, I take it seriously. And the reason why you remember them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves is, look in verse 17, that they may do it with joy and not grief. For that is unprofitable for you. The people that work here, Rose, Alicia, Lindsay, Courtney, Gary, Kay, Roy and Bonnie, they see it. Others that have come in and worked here and just done things here and so on. Some days I'll come in kicking my heels, whistling, singing gospel songs. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Some days I'll come in, boy, I'm in good shape. And they'll tell you that when I'm like that, they know that I'm going to be in the book. I'm going to be searching. I'm going to be working on new sermons, new things to talk about. I'm going to be doing videos on online. I'm out here. You guys have seen it. You've seen me come out here. Boy, let's storm the gates of hell with a, you know, water gun. Let's do it. Okay? You've also seen me when I wasn't doing so well. And I was in a lot of grief. And I have been, over the course of years, I've been in places so far down that I would just send a note out to the entire world saying, Pastor Mike's on vacation this week. The reason being was, there's no way in the world I could stand in front of a camera or even stand out here and talk about the Word of God. I would be so far low. It hasn't, that Bible's right. That is unprofitable for you. If I am in a constant state of grief over things that are going on in this church, it's unprofitable for you. I can't get anything done. I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't talk about affairs that are world. I can't give you the Word of God. I can't study the Word of God and focus and concentrate on the Word of God like I do. I can't do those. I physically don't have the ability to do it. And it doesn't help anybody. It's unprofitable for the ministry and for the whole church for me to have to do that. But there's been times, it's just sometimes it seems like it's unavoidable. And I have to deal with it, and I don't like it. I don't. I know that I have gifts and talents from God, and I try to use those to the best of my ability. I also have become aware over the last 20 some odd years that I have deficiencies and flaws. There are ministers who in some areas do a way better job than I do. Way. But I'll just be honest with you. There are some things I can't do very good. It'd be like asking some preachers to lead the singing and play the piano for their church. I've been with these preachers in meetings before. They can't sing. But I know an old boy didn't have a piano player, didn't have a song leader. He couldn't hardly sing a note. You know what he did? He'd get up and lead his church every Sunday morning song service because nobody else would do it. But he couldn't sing like me. He couldn't play the piano like me. But he did the best he could. So I always try to work on what I can't do, but it's easier for me to do what I can do. And that's what I do. So, as far as self-awareness of who Mike Hoggard is, I got a pretty good grasp on it, but I could always use some advice every now and then. Okay? And most everybody here, I trust you to know that you're my friend. And if you had something to say to me, I know you'd do it in the right way. Amen? I know that. But we have the issue of authority. One man has to be in charge. There's one head on your body. Okay? One head on your body. That's it. There's not two or three. It doesn't work. There's just one. And so, for better or for worse, kind of sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? Okay? For better or for worse, I'm the guy. I always need your prayers. I always need your support. I promise you, I couldn't live without your friendship. Friendship. I don't have any friends outside of this building. None. I need friends. Okay? And I promise you, I'll do my best to go by what's in this book. Okay? You have a responsibility to help me do that with joy and not grief. Can I hear God's people say amen?
Amen.
We'll deal with some more of this a little bit later on. There's all kinds of things to talk about when it comes to authority. There's authority that everybody in this room, if you are a born-again Christian, there's authority that God has given you. Okay? And you may not be aware of it. It's pretty cool. We'll study those things, all right? Let's